This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 157.
It's like this is the number one thing anyone can do to become the person that you need to be to create the success that you want.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com. Your home for real estate investing online.
What's going on, everybody? This is Josh Dorkin, host of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, here with my co-host, Mr. Lumberjack Brandon Turner.
That's lumber sexual to you. Come on.
I don't want to say it.
There might be kids listening. How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm good. I'm good. It's we're a couple days into January. I'm still fighting this cold that I got pre-Christmas. It's awesome.
Yeah. Good job. Awesome. Yeah, I think you gave that to me.
Yeah. Okay.
No more making out between us, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, now you just outed us, man. No, way to go, buddy.
I stayed at Josh's house a few weeks ago, and then I got home, and we both were sick. So we got it from somebody. But yeah, that was fun. Anyway, I cut my thumb. Did you hear about that?
I saw it. I heard about it. Chunk. I don't think anyone cares. He literally sliced off like a corner of my thumb.
Yeah, I was trying to slice apples on what's called a mandolin, and
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it's grotesque.
It'll grow back.
It is really nasty. That's what they keep telling him. Man, listen, we've got a show that I know you are chomping at the bit for.
I have been trying to get this guy on the show for over a year now, or about a year now. We've been planning to get this guy on the show, and it did not fail to disappoint.
No, it was great. Yeah. It was great. Yeah. Today's show was, I will go in saying, I go into this show somewhat a skeptic, and I walk away. We record intros and outros after we actually do our interviews, and I walk away saying, "Wow, yeah, this is pretty good." And this is a different show than we normally have, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But before we do, it is the New Year's. I just want to thank you guys for listening to Bigger Pockets. The show continues to grow, continues to inspire and influence people. And it's so motivating hearing from you guys. It gets us going. It gets us excited to continue to produce the show, to continue to look for great guests. And because it's a fair amount of work to actually put this thing together. I want to read something really nice. One of the reviews that we got, it's from Mikey Silver. I'm so incredibly grateful to have found BP. A few weeks ago, a friend told me about the BP podcast, which led me to the full site. The fact that BP was created to genuinely help others learn about real estate investing for free is simply amazing and a testament to the generosity of Josh Brandon and the other experienced investors who post on the site. This podcast is a great way to hear from the different topics discussed on the site and to get to know the community. Thank you, guys. I plan to pay it forward. Big thanks to Mikey. And
that's nice.
You know, if you want to pay it forward, please take a minute, leave us a review on iTunes, on Stitcher. iTunes particularly, we love iTunes reviews, and we randomly will read them. We read them all, but to everybody, we randomly read them. So big thanks to you guys for doing that. Before we get forward, let's kind of knock out today's quick tip. All right, today's quick tip is we introduced about a week and a half ago or so a new way to very quickly and easily set up keyword alerts on Bigger Pockets, on the forums. Go to the forums, you start reading something and you see a word that you actually want to create an alert for. You just highlight that word with your mouse and it'll give you the ability to add that term as a keyword and you're done. Really easy. The power of keyword alerts is really incredible. If you're trying to learn about a topic or follow a topic for your business, whatever it is, set up keyword alerts and those will keep you in tune with what's going on the Bigger Pockets site.
Especially city names. If you have a keyword alert set up for all the city names near you, when somebody mentions that they're from that city or they're asking questions about it, you get to be the first one notified about it. You'll get to hear about it. You'll be able to jump in. I use that all the time. I got keyword alert set for all my local cities. It's great.
It's a great way to network locally. So awesome.
Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder, Dave Van Horn, wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today. You might think you want real estate, but that's not true. What you really want is passive income. With new investors struggling to find deals or get enough money to buy them and veteran landlords tired of the constant tenant phone calls, is there a better alternative? Actually, there is. Short notes from ConnectInvest. ConnectInvest is an online investing platform that allows you to easily participate in passive real estate investing, and all you need is $500 to start. Short notes collectively funds a diversified portfolio of commercial and residential real estate projects across acquisition, construction, and development phases. You'll earn a fixed monthly income without the hassle of owning or managing real estate. Head to connectinvest.com/BP to create your account. Fund your digital wallet with at least $500. Select from 6, 12, and 24-month short notes with annualized return rates up to 9%. Then sit back and let your monthly returns roll in. Join today by visiting connectinvest.com/VP. Connectinvest.com/VP. You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next-day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single-family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today.
All right, guys. Today's guest is Hal Elrod, author of the book The Miracle Morning, which Brandon listed as one of his 5 business books that changed my real estate investing life.
Oh, yes.
As well as The Miracle Morning for Real Estate Agents. So if you're a real estate agent, definitely want to check that out. While neither of these things are real estate investing books per se, the lessons can really help how you guys approach deals, challenges, building your business, the process of growth, the process of personal and financial and business growth, your goals, goal setting, things like that. It's there's a lot of depth in here. And Hal is a absolutely phenomenal guy whose story will without a doubt blow your mind. He blew my mind, and I'm really excited to have had the opportunity for us to interview him. So let's bring it on. Hal, welcome to the show, man. It's good to have you here.
As I said earlier, it is an honor.
Well, thank you. Wow.
Now, yeah. Actually, let's bring some context. Earlier, you said, it's an honor to meet you, Brandon, and Josh. Go shove it.
Yeah. And I said, Josh, I said, you work the sound equipment, right? That's why you're here. Yeah. Hey, great mics think alike, by the way. Great mics think alike.
Yeah. High old PR40, right? There we go.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, so the reason how we wanted you here today, so you're not a real estate investor, right? Let's get that out of the way first of all.
I should be. It's on my disgrace list of all the stuff I should be doing, but I'm not doing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to listen to this damn show then.
That's what people are thinking, right? Some people might be thinking, well, I don't want to listen then, but I want to start out. Very first question. Why should people stick around anyway? Well, I mean, we're talking about waking up early. We're talking about setting goals. We're talking about the big picture stuff. Why should they listen to the show?
Oh man, I didn't know you were going to spring that on me right off the bat. So why should you listen to the show? I mean, there's so many different ways that I could answer that. But I think the best answer is not for me to try to sell anybody. on why you should listen. But look at the social proof, if you will. So this, the book that I wrote, The Miracle Morning, which I know we're going to talk about the content from that, it's become one of the best-selling and highest-rated books in the history of books. And I know that's a, I mean, that's a bold statement.
that's pretty bold.
But yeah,
I think
Brandon Turner's
book is higher rated, isn't it?
I don't think so.
No, it's not. You have like you have 800 five-star reviews, right?
He has like 1,100.
I was reading your bio. You should update that.
Oh, I need to update the bio. You're right. I know. So that's it. I mean, and here's the crazy part. When I wrote the book, I was at rock bottom. I mean, we'll talk about the story, right? I wrote it for average people. Like, hey, here's how you fulfill your potential. Here's like, this is the number one thing anyone can do to become the person that you need to be to create the success that you want. I never imagined that I would have my heroes, people that I had like read their books that had changed my life, like Robert Kiyosaki, for example. I'll just give you that as an example. His assistant emailed me and said, Hal, Robert's a big fan of the Miracle Morning. He wants you on his show. And I thought big fan meant that he needed a guest for the show and saw the book lying somewhere, you know, and was like, call this guy. He gets on. He says, Hal, I've read The Miracle Morning 3 times. I'm on day 60 without missing a day, and it's completely changed my life. And my jaw hits the floor. So anyway, so there you go. So that's why you listen. Don't listen because I say you should listen, but it's changed. Whether you're worth $85 million like Kiyosaki or you're at rock bottom, if this applies to you, if you're in that range.
Yeah.
Hey, Hal. All right. So I'm going to go Josh on you. Right. You're telling people how to reach their potential. What gives you the right? I mean, like, you know, you're not this 65-year-old guy who's lived, you know, the decades of life here.
Yeah.
What gives you the right to go ahead and tell people that?
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting question. It's probably the question that got me. It took me 6 years to write the book, and it was because of that insecurity of like, yeah. Who am I?
Right.
Quick context. I guess I got started kind of at a young age. When I was 19 years old, I started breaking sales records. So I broke sales records where I was doing things that no one in the 50-year history of the company I worked for had ever done. So that kind of created like, well, hey, I guess I have something to teach people. I'm doing something right. A year later, I was hit head on by a drunk driver at 80 miles an hour, and I died. I died for 6 minutes. I broke 11 bones.
Whoa.
Came out of a coma 6 days later. They said I would never walk again, and I had permanent brain damage. And that, you know, I kind of defied the odds and came back from that and went on to run, not just walk, but run a 52-mile ultra marathon. So it was really, I'm 36 years old now. So I guess here's the answer to the question is, ever since I died, right?
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask about, death.
We could go more in depth on that. Yeah. Yeah. Ever since I died, my life for 16 years has been dedicated to, I felt the sense of responsibility being given a second chance. Like I have a responsibility to my friends, my family, the world to figure out how to fulfill my potential so that I can empower other people to do the same. And that's really been the last 16 years, you know, figuring that out and you know, I'm still learning, of course.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. So talking about death, first off, I got to plug a show that we did, podcast 5, which was dealing with death, a financial discussion, with a guy named Neil Frankel. The listeners could go to biggerpockets.com/show5. We did that as one of our earliest shows on Bigger Pockets because I think I'm one of these people who thinks it's best to be prepared for everything that's going to come at you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I knew Neil. Neil's this really, really bright guy. And we're like, you know, he and I had had these conversations about it and we wanted to bring it to the podcast. And the show's great. It really makes you think and kind of helps to prep you as a real estate investor for, you know, what's to come and really for anybody. But you died. So you got hit by a car. They pronounce you dead on the scene. Six minutes later, were they trying to revive you for 6 minutes, or
yeah,
did you just wake up and say, "Holy sh-"?
Yeah, no,
I'm alive.
So what happened? I got hit head on at I don't remember the car accident. You know,
sure.
I have about 2 weeks of my memory that's just gone. But I'm driving on the freeway, 70 miles an hour, in a Ford Mustang, brand new, a Chevy full size truck, much bigger than my little Mustangs, coming head on at me, drunk driver. Don't remember seeing the car. We hit head on and we hit kind of off center. So we hit like, if this is my driver's side, hit his driver's side, and it sent my car spinning, and the car behind me did most of the damage. Mm. It hit me in the door at 70 miles an hour. So everybody, if anyone's listening, look over your left shoulder and imagine a car is coming at you at 70 miles an hour and crashes into your door. And I don't know if you can see on the video, but I mean, like, my whole left side, like my elbow smashed, I broke my arm, I broke my femur, broke in half, pelvis in three places. What was the question again?
I don't know.
All right. I have brain damage. I pull the brain damage.
That's
card.
It. Yeah, seriously. You're allowed to use it. You're allowed to use it. The question was on death. Did you just like spontaneously wake up or were they trying to revive you?
So what happened was the car accident happened. You know, I'm immediately was in a coma. I mean, the damage, again, 11 broken bones, right? And unable to withstand the pain, my body and brain, I shut down, which I'm thankful for, of course. My best friend, Jeremy, found me a minute later and he was a minute behind me in his car and he pulled up and goes, "Oh my God, that's Hal's car." And he jumps out, he takes my pulse and I'm covered in blood. He thought I was dead. Because I'm not responding. And then he took my pulse and I was alive. Well, it took the rescue crew 50 minutes, 50, so almost an hour to use I was pinned in the car and they had to use the jaws of life, cut the roof off, peel it back, pull the door back and pull me out. And when, you know, I was bleeding for an hour and I was alive. When they finally pulled me out, I lost so much blood so quickly that my heart stopped beating. And that's when I died. And the 6 minutes was, 6 minutes of them working to revive me. And I'm glad they didn't give up after five, you know.
Yeah.
But luckily they
kept doing
it. What
is the protocol on that, by the way?
Of reviving me?
On reviving people, like, is it 7, 10 minutes, 5? Are we lucky? Know. Jeez.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm lucky, grateful. To my knowledge, they got me out of the car and they rushed me to the helicopter or something. I'm not even sure. Hooked up me up to an IV, defibrillator, the whole bit. And then I died two more times. Technically, I flatlined twice while I was in my coma. So I think my parents, I'm a dad now. I didn't really get it until I was a dad going, "Oh my God, what my parents went through was way worse than what I went through."
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they're by my bedside and, you know, and all of a sudden I flatline again and they're, you know, they're rushed out. And I mean, yeah, it was pretty rough for them. And then 6 days later, I woke up and I had to face this reality that I was told I was hit by a drunk driver. I broke 11 bones. I might never walk again. You know, I had no short-term memory. I mean, literally, Brandon, you could have come hung out with me for 3 hours and gone to the bathroom and come back, and I would have had in the hospital, I would have had no memory you were there for 3 hours.
Oh,
it was
man.
Really bad. Wow. Which, Josh, you'd probably say it was probably a good thing.
I would have just messed with you the whole time.
Well, here's the funny part. I had the brain damage that I suffered. It was the frontal lobe, right? That's from the head-on collision, and that's the same part of your brain that controls your judgment, your inhibitions, and your short-term memory. So ironically, I was hit by a drunk driver, but the damage caused me to be like I was drunk all the time. So I, because of the brain damage, I said anything that a 20-year-old young man thought. I had this hot nurse Wendy, who used to have to bathe me like sponge bath. If you're 20 years old and there's a hot nurse bathing you, like, what are you thinking? Well, I just said it all. I'm like, "Hey, it's Wendy, it's, you know, isn't it only fair if I get to bathe you?" And I mean, the point is, my friends used to come like Friday night. They're like, "What should we do tonight?" They're like, "Dude, let's go to visit Hal and ask him crazy stuff and just see what he says." And yeah, it was funny.
That is great. Oh, well, thank goodness you survived. And obviously that led to this transformation in your mind and led to this book. So let's kind of go from accident to book. Why write a book? You know, what kind of got you there?
Yeah. Miracle Morning was my second book, and both books were written for the exact same reason. And that was not because I wanted to be an author or write a book. Not at all. It was because I literally felt a sense of responsibility. So the first book, Taking Life Head On, which we won't go into much detail, but the premise was, right, it was like, wow, I overcame. In fact, a friend of mine, John, is the one who told me, he goes, "Hal, you take it for granted that like what you went through, because it was your experience. You just think it is what it is." But he goes, "Dude, you died and you were told you'd never walk and you ran an ultra marathon and all." He goes, if I were you, I feel like your number one focus should be committing to share that in a book." So that was the first book. And then the second book, it was similar. It was 2007 when the U.S. economy crashed, and anybody who has anything to do with real estate was very aware of, you know, right, the adversity that created. But I had just bought a brand new house at the peak of the market in 2006. My first house, I was 25, $385,000, short sold it for 186, right? For half price. And during that time when the economy crashed, I got deeply depressed. Before it crashed, I had a six-figure business. I was a coach. I was a speaker. I was an author. I was like living the dream. I had just bought a house, bought my car. Everything was great. Economy crashes and I lose everything. And that's what inspired the second book was after 6 months of like a real downward spiral into a depression and feeling hopeless. Like everything I tried wasn't working. I was reading books. I was doing different things. Nothing turned it around. And to keep a long story short, the same friend that told me to write that first book, I called him. I said, dude, I'm going through a really, really tough time and I haven't told anybody because I'm a success coach. So it kind of is counterintuitive to tell people, hey, I'm failing miserably. Do you know anyone that needs a good success coach? Right? Like, so I just kept it a secret and I finally told him and he told me, he said, if I were you, Hal, I would every morning go for a run and listen to a personal, like listen to a business book and then go home and the point of the run is to put you in a peak physical, mental, and emotional state and then educate yourself on what you need to do to improve your challenges. For you, it's business, it's finances right now. While you're in that peak state and then run straight home and spend an hour implementing whatever you learn. And I hate running was the first thing I said. And he goes, what do you hate worse, running or the life that you just described to me? What's going on? And I was like, all right, screw you. I'll go for a run. And I went for a run the next morning and I heard a quote, and this will kind of wrap up the story, is Jim Rohn. This is the quote that turned my entire life around. It's responsible for the miracle morning. I mean, everything faster than I ever thought possible. And it was Jim Rohn said, your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development. And in that moment, I realized I'm not dedicating time every day to my personal development. I'm not becoming the person that I need to be to create the success I want in my life. And I ran home and the epiphany was I need to create a morning ritual. That's what like the world's most successful people, they do a morning ritual. But then the question was, well, what do I do to make it the most effective morning ritual known to man? And I spent like an hour researching and, you know, it ended up being what is now known as the Miracle Morning, but it was never going to be a book. It was just that with 2 months of doing this morning ritual, which we'll go into what it is, but I more than doubled my income. I went from being in the worst shape of my life physically to running a 52-mile ultra marathon. And I went from being deeply depressed to being, you know, the happiest I'd ever been, the most confident I'd ever been. And because my life changed so fast, I started calling it the miracle morning and sharing it with my clients and just seeing the impact in their life. The light bulb went off and I go, again, I have a responsibility. I've got to write a book and share it with the world. And the rest is kind of history, as they say.
Wow. I love it. I love it.
That's awesome. Yeah. Go ahead, Brandon.
Well, I was going to ask, you know, you had a lot of things going for you. You know, you mentioned like you had a business, you were making good money, you were a success coach. Like, do you mind explaining a little bit, like, why do you think, like, why were you depressed then? I mean, obviously the economy was tanking or whatever, but like, you know, like, it seems like a guy would be like, oh, you got everything going for you. You have no right to be depressed. I mean, how did that work?
Well, but that's the thing is because I went from being successful and maybe I didn't clarify that, but yeah, I don't think I did clarify that. Within a very short period of time, I lost over half of my coaching clients, therefore half of my income. Yeah. So that's what happened is I lost over half my clients and it was not because I was a bad coach. At least I don't think it was just because the economy affected them and sure. It was the trickle down. It was like, hey, we either pay our mortgage or we pay you to coach us. And you know, I let them out of their coaching contract, you know? So I lost over half my income and then I couldn't pay my bills. I couldn't pay my mortgage. I lost my house, right?
Okay, that's right.
And I canceled my gym membership. So before the economy crashed, I was 5.7% body fat, 170 pounds, 6 feet tall, like best shape of my life, right? 6 months later, I was 17%. So from 5.7% to 17% body fat in 6 months. So it was literal physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, I was at the lowest point in my life. And as far as the depression goes, there's almost a perfect storm. And I didn't talk about this part of it for a long time because I was almost, I don't know if embarrassed is the right word, but before the economy crashed, a friend of mine had told me that I had ADHD and that I needed to go see a doctor. And I went and saw a doctor and I got on Adderall. This was back in 2005, I think, or six. And I didn't know any different. I thought, oh, this is cool. The doctor said I should take this. And then my dad sent me an article one day and he's like, dude, Adderall might be doing something really bad for your brain. And so I quit cold turkey at the exact time the economy started to crash. And so I believe I was going through physical withdrawals that I wasn't even aware of and mental withdrawals at the same time. So it's like it was just this perfect storm that really messed me up.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, I taught special ed for 4 years, and there was pretty much every kid that I taught was, you know, prescribed Adderall and, you know, a whole cocktail of stuff. And it's like, come on, really?
Kills me.
Yeah.
It's bad amazing. Enough to be in your, you know, mid-20s and decide to give it a shot, you know, try it.
Yeah.
But to be, you know, still developing and developing the beliefs, and now you have limiting beliefs that says, I can't function in society without this medication. So yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. Well, let's get to the miracle morning and rituals, because I know that Brandon, me. Will annoy the living crap out of me by talking about, you know, hey, you know, this is what I do. Blah, 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 you know, why don't you, you know? And I'm like, really? You know, like, here's my self-help teacher, you know, trying to prescribe more crap for me. And, you know, at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't have the willpower he has. I don't have the capacity. And I'm envious that he actually can go ahead and do this stuff. And you know, even though I give him grief about it, I want to be more like that. I know that, like you said, the most successful people out there create rituals, live by these rituals, and continuously work to improve themselves. It's something I've dedicated myself to starting about a year ago, and I've seen a drastic change in my life, in my outlook, in my perspective, in my business, in my friend, in everything. And so for me, this is really exciting. Usually it's Brandon asking everybody, oh, well, I got this house and what should I do? And this is me saying, morning rituals, tell me about them.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, I just want to say, to the point of being jealous of Brandon and his attributes, I know you mentioned his habits and his discipline. For me, it's his beard. Like, I wish I could grow a beard. I mean, yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. Most
people there are things crawling in there. I wouldn't be very jealous of
this. This is a very lumber sexual beard right here.
Yeah, nice, dude. If I try to grow it, it's just long whiskers, like spaced out like 3/4 of an inch.
That's like Ethan Hawke style. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty bad. So anyway, so morning rituals. So here's what happened is when I ran, like I had the epiphany, I heard that Jim Rohn quote and I ran home. And my question was, what do the world's most successful people do for personal development? So the actual morning ritual part wasn't the first part. It was like if Jim Rohn, I believe what he's saying, that your level of success will seldom exceed your level of personal development. The personal development's a very vague topic, right? It's like a very vague term. It's like, well, what is that exactly? And so I went home and I was Googling things like, what do the world's most successful people do for personal development, right? Like, or best personal development rituals of successful people or whatever. And I spent about an hour. And what happened was I was looking for the one thing, right? Like, I was like, all right, I want to find the best practice for personal development, and I'm going to do it every day. And as I'm going through reading articles on Forbes and Fast Company and Oprah.com, I can't narrow it down to one. As I'm going through, I'm like, oh, meditation. Some of the world's most successful people swear by meditation, right? And then I watched this video on the Ellen DeGeneres Show. I'm watching YouTube, and it's Will Smith talking about his number one key to success, and it was affirmations. So I'm like, well, I got to do those, right? And then I'm coming across Jim Carrey, visualization, right? And then I see successful people talking about journaling and on and on, and I end up with a list of 6 practices. And I almost threw in the towel. It was one of those, what are they called? Paralysis by analysis, right? Sure, I'm going, well, which one do I do? You know, and I'm going and trying to figure out the better one. And then the epiphany, like the breakthrough was, I'm looking at this list I've got and I go, wait a minute. What if I did all of them? What if I did the 6 most powerful, proven personal development practices known to man? And what if I did, you know, if I did like 10 minutes each over a course of an hour, that would be like the ultimate personal development practice. And all of the research I was doing, I didn't see anyone that did all of them, like maybe did 2 or 3. In fact, I mentioned earlier, Robert Kiyosaki. So this is what he wrote for me about the Miracle Morning. But he said before the Miracle Morning, no one did all 6 of the practices. He said he had never heard of anyone. And now they're part of his daily ritual that he does every day. And so the next morning I woke up, I did all 6. Now, I wasn't a morning person. So that was the other part of it. It's like, well, when am I going to find time to fit these in? And people listening, right? You hear most people go, well, I can't fit in meditation, or I can't fit in one of these, you know, well, all six of them. So I thought, oh, I'm going to wake up an hour earlier, even though I'm not a morning person. I'm going to try it. I'm going to give it a shot, right? Because that was another thing I kept coming across is successful people wake up before they have to. And let me pause for a second. If you think about the reason that, if you're watching or listening, the reason that you wake up in the morning, why did you wake up this morning? And it's one of two reasons. It's either because you had to or you wanted to, right? Meaning most of us wake up because we have to be somewhere, do something, answer to somebody else, take our kids to school, right? And we literally think about how we set the alarm. We look at our schedule and we ask ourselves, what's the last possible minute that I could wake up to not get divorced, fired, have my children taken away from me? Right? Like, that's the definition of a mediocre morning. And it's how most of us start the day.
Yeah.
And so the other side of that is, because you think about how negative that is, like the energy, the alarm goes off and you're like, oh, I don't want to wake up. It's like, what are you talking about? Life's gifting you another day. Why would you not jump out of bed, you know? And that definitely wasn't my mindset then. But I decided to wake up the next morning, not at the time I had to wake up, at the time I wanted to wake up. And it was such a different energy. The alarm went off and it felt kind of like Christmas morning. I'm like, this is great. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to try this thing. And I did those six practices and I was horrible at them, right? Like, I was the worst meditator ever, you know, I was the worst at all of it. But at 6 a.m., that was literally the morning that my entire life changed. And it was 7 years ago and it's never been the same, because I went, if I start every day like this, with this much clarity and energy and motivation and knowledge, I mean, it's only a matter of time before my outer world reflects my inner world. And I didn't know it would happen in 2 months, but you know, it did. And that's where the miracle of the Miracle Morning title came from.
And, I love that. And it's clearly not working because your energy is terrible. I mean, your outlook is pretty awful. I mean,
it's true.
Clearly. Well, so let me ask you this. I'm one of these guys who, like, I can't get to bed. I my head's always spinning and I got to shut it off before I can get to sleep. And I'm getting better. It used to be, you know, 2 in the morning, then 12. Now it's, you know, 10:30, 11-ish. But I still, like, I'm up. I got to be up and at them for kids, family, work. Everything is 6:30.
Yeah.
If I'm in a miracle morning, I got to be up at 5:30 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's really starting to cut into my Betty by time, and that's going to make for a cranky Josh, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I have lunch at 6:30, so when you wake up, we could do like a Skype lunch or something. I'm kidding. So here's the deal. I mean, right? Everything is give and take. You know what I mean? So it's going to bed an hour earlier than you normally would, right? So you can wake up an hour earlier. And there is a component in the book. There's a whole chapter I talk about how much sleep do we really need, and I talk about the mind body connection and how some of the greatest minds in the history of the world, like Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Edison, were documented sleeping 4 or 5 hours a night.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, if it was, now who knows, maybe they died 10 years earlier. I don't know, but then they would have otherwise. But
yeah, but so you beat them on that. You've died 3 times already.
So exactly, yeah, exactly. Big deal. So, I'll give you what I personally do and then what other people have kind of found to work. So I go to bed at 9:30 PM and I wake up at 3:30 AM 7 days a week.
Wow.
The only time I don't wake up at 3:30 a.m., which was this morning, maybe that's why I have so much energy. but no, my wife and I went to a book launch, John Lee Dumas's book launch party last night. We were up late, you know, so I'm not going to sleep 3 hours or whatever. But the idea that we need as much sleep as we believe that we need. If you think about this, if you go to bed and you have created a belief that says, I need 8 hours of sleep. And maybe the belief came from experience. Maybe it came from because you know, that's the popular, you know, perpetuated a time frame. Then if you go to bed and you're only going to get 7 hours or 6 hours, what are you going to tell yourself about how you're going to feel in the morning on 6 hours if you believe you need eight?
Yeah. You're going to be like, oh crap, I got to get up in 6 hours.
Yeah. I'm going to be exhausted.
Yep.
On 6 hours of sleep. And then it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Alarm goes off, you go, oh, it's already 6:30 a.m. or whatever. So the point is that we'll talk to you specifically, Josh, is that getting up at 5:30 a.m. is, it's just a matter of shifting, right? It's a matter of making that commitment and making the change and going, is there more value between 5:30 and 6:30 or 5 and 6 a.m. for what I can get done and how I can start my day and who I can become? right, than there is what I'm doing between 10:30 and 11:30 p.m. And the and I want to give one example. Another thing is I always would rather give a personal, you know, someone else's success story versus my own opinion. I'm obviously biased. I wrote the book, you know. But you guys know who Pat Flynn is?
Sure. Yes.
So Pat Flynn, smartpassiveincome.com, right? Pat is someone I'm a huge fan, and I sent him a copy of The Miracle Morning, you know, a long time ago, and never heard back from him. And like 6 months later, I got an email from him, and he said, "Hal, I keep hearing from people that I've got to read this book, that I've got to have you on my show." He goes, "And you sent it to me. I apologize, I never responded." He goes, "But look, I'm not a morning person. I'm a night owl, and I'm living the life of my dream. So I want you on the show, like, you know, not to debate, but like convince me. Like I'm open, but I don't, right. I don't see how." So, I mean, this is a guy who has a 7-figure business. He's got the wife of his dreams. He's got 2 amazing kids. He lives an amazing lifestyle, right? And so I'm going, how in the hell am I going to convince this guy who's living the dream that he should change how... Oh, and here's the hardest part. He said, "I wake up, I don't set an alarm. I wake up when my kids run in and go, daddy, daddy, daddy." And I go, how the hell am I going to pop that, right? So keep a long story short, at the end of the interview, you know, and I'm literally nervous in the interview going, right. And, but I made the case. I explained The Miracle Morning, and he said, "Hal," at the end, he goes, "I'm going to try this for 30 days. He said, "You've convinced me that I might, as happy and productive as I am, I might be missing out on a level of fulfillment and productivity that could be attained if I wake up earlier and do these practices that you're talking about." He said, "I'm willing to try it for 30 days. And it wasn't like maybe 4 days later, I see hashtag Miracle Morning, and he's posting pictures of himself at 5:30 at the gym and different stuff. And long story short, he has now said, he's done multiple episodes recapping how The Miracle Morning has changed his life. And he says it's 4x'd his productivity. He said at a very minimum, he could quantify that his productivity has increased by 4 times. So again, if it could do it for Pat Flynn, who has a 7-figure business, Robert Kiyosaki, who's worth $85 million, right? And these are, you know, night owls. You know, that's all I would tell you is don't take my word for it. Is it's worth trying for 30 days.
Well, and I can tell you, you know, like we didn't talk about much about my story, like before we started this, but like the reason I wanted you on the show, first of all, is because I love the book, right? It changed, you know, I read it about a year ago now, and I said, I'm going to commit to this. And I said, for 100 days, I'm going to commit to this. Mm-hmm. And I sat down and for 100 days, and during that time, I wanted a few things. I wanted to write a book. I said, I want to write a book on rental property investing. So I sat down, I was like, okay, well, I'll do that. I committed to the 6 things, which I want to talk about, the savers, yeah, which we'll get savers. To. Yeah. And I said, I want to do that. And I want to make my real estate business less stressful. You know, I was so stressed to the point of being, you know, depressed, right? Like I was so overwhelmed with everything going on. In those 100 days, I mean, completely changed my life. I mean, completely. That's why I talk about this book all the time, because it completely changed my life. I mean, not only did I write one book, I ended up writing a 120,000 word book. And then my wife and I co-wrote a second book together as another 100,000 words. So like in exactly 100 days, just because of that. And it wasn't like, we weren't getting up at 3 a.m. or whatever. We were getting up at, sure, at 5. That was my time, 5.
Sure.
But it totally changed my life. So I will officially say thank you, Hal, for writing the book. And you know,
welcome.
It totally changed things. So yeah, I mean, for me too, I can testify. It changed my real estate business. It changed my, you know, business life. It changed everything for me, and it continues to. And I'm not perfect at it. I don't get up every single day early, but sure, you know, most of the time, like I try to at least hit 6 a.m. if I can, because I know that I need that hour before my wife's up and the dogs are freaking out, and I got a kid coming now, and I'm like, I'm never gonna get any sleep then. But you know, so anyway, I just love it. So I think that's very cool. So let's transition a little bit and talk about the savers. What exactly that means?
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? You already mentioned a few of them, like affirmations, but let's just go through the all 6 that you do.
Yeah, I'll go through all 6 and I'll give some kind of outside the box, you know, teaching on each one.
Sure.
So the SAVERS is the acronym that sums up the 6 practices of the Miracle Morning for anybody watching or listening. And I do want to give my wife credit. She is responsible for this acronym SAVERS, in that I was writing the book and the 6 practices, they weren't organized. And one day she's like, "What's wrong? You're frustrated." I said, "Sweetie," I go, "you know, Robert Kiyosaki's got the cash flow quadrant and Covey's got the 7. I go, I can't think of a way to organize these six practices. And she goes, why don't you get a thesaurus and see if you can make an acronym? And I was like, you're so brilliant, you know? And so, and it really couldn't have been a better acronym than SAVERS, or I call these the lifesavers, right? And they really are the six practices that are virtually guaranteed to save you, all of us, from missing out on our full potential, which most people miss out on, right? They go through life and they look back and go, could have done so much more, didn't fulfill everything I wanted. And I really believe these six practices are the savers. So the first S is for, actually I'll run through them real quick and then I'll explain. So silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, reading, and scribing. And I really owe the thesaurus because I didn't even know what the hell that word meant, scribing, before before I looked it up in the thesaurus. So silence, affirmations, visualization, exercise, and scribing. So the S is for silence, and that is meditation and or prayer. So whichever works. And I mean, if you do any research on meditation, you realize I'd be silly to not meditate. Like, I mean, the benefits are so profound and so proven. But most people start their day with not silence, but chaos, right? Because most people wait till the last minute, they jump out of bed and they're rushing around and they're running late, you know, versus the miracle morning allows you to start your day with peaceful, purposeful silence, which again, the benefits of lowering your stress, of improving your clarity, of, there's physiological benefits. There's so many benefits of meditating, right? So starting your day with that. And also I kind of joke in the book that, How much easier does it get than you start your miracle morning by essentially doing nothing, right? Yeah. You just sit there, right? You just do nothing. So the S for silence, the A is for affirmation.
Hey, Hal, yes, do you mind if I chime in and, you know, buddy on some of these things as we go through it? Okay, cool. So silence, meditation, prayer. I want to step back a tiny bit. The reason we do this in the morning is because it's quiet. It's pre-chaos. It's pre all the madness. And that's pretty much it, correct?
Not exactly. So that's part of it, you know, and that's when, I meant to say that when you said, I've got the wife, I've got the kids, dude, you need a miracle morning more than any. Like if you have a wife and kids,
or I got three girls, man. Yeah.
Dude, yeah. You need a miracle. I mean, it's that. And that's what people tell me is they go, I thought I couldn't do this because I have to wake up with my kids. And I realized once I did it, like, oh my gosh, I'm a better mom. I'm a better dad. Because the kids wake up and you're not reacting. You've already gone through this period of an hour of just, you know, and it's scalable. Miracle morning, people do it in 30 minutes. They do it. They customize it. But to your point of why to do it in the morning, people ask me about, you know, could I do my savers later in the day, evening, whatever. And I actually have a chapter in the book on customizing the miracle morning. And I do talk about, you know, if you want to do a miracle afternoon or a miracle evening, you can. But here's the point. The benefits of the savers are so profound that if you do them in the evening, your day now has not been directly impacted by the benefits. Give you an example. Let's just take one of them, right? Exercise, for example. The benefits of exercise, it gets your heart rate up. It releases endorphins and serotonin. You think clearer. You feel better. You have more energy. Well, if you do it in the morning, the energy that you generate, like a power plant generates energy, extends throughout the entire day. If you wait to exercise till the afternoon, well, you know, or the evening, you've missed out on those benefits. Same thing with meditation, right? It lowers your cortisol levels. You think clearer. You have lower stress. Do you want to have that throughout the day, or do you want to wait till the end of the day? So that's really it. Is that all six of the and same with affirmations, and we'll talk about those in a second. But it really directs your focus. So if you want to optimize your day, you do a miracle morning. If you want to optimize, you know, your sleep, you do a miracle evening or whatever, right? So that's kind of the idea.
Okay, gotcha.
If you did the savers at the end of the day, you'd be ahead of 99% of the world still. You'd still experience amazing benefits. But yeah, to optimize the day, it's kind of like win the morning and you win the day.
That's what I always felt like is like, even more than anything specifically in the miracle morning that helped me achieve my goals. It wasn't so, I mean, it was that, but it was more of like, I won. The first hour was mine and I was victorious and I was like winning the rest of the day. Like I felt like I already succeeded that day. And it was like a mental shift in my head. I wasn't depressed all day and reactive, right? Like I wasn't reactive. I was being proactive in everything I did. Like I even used that time to plan out my day. And I still do that today all the time. I plan out what's going forward. And anyway, I love that for the morning for that reason. But
nice. Well, yeah, I read it when I was researching the miracle, when I was writing the miracle morning and seeing what else was out there, I came across this great article from stevepavlina.com. Mm-hmm. It was called, the article title was "The Morning is the Rudder of the Day." or it was called the rudder of the day. And he said, like, the rudder of a ship, right? Whichever way the rudder is pointed determines the direction of the ship. And he said, same as the morning. If you have a focused, productive, growth-oriented morning, you're going to have it that type of day. But if you do what most people do and you start your day with procrastination by hitting the snooze button, right? Which is a lack of self-discipline. I don't have the discipline to get out of bed in the morning, let alone all the other things I need to do. You're starting your day with that. And then the stress and the chaos of rushing, right? That sets the tone for the entire day. I got to share with you guys one of my favorite lines from a comedian, Dimitri Martin.
Yeah, he said, I know this one.
Do you? Yeah, it's great. He said, hitting the snooze button in the morning doesn't even make sense. It's like you're saying, I hate waking up in the morning, so I do it over and over and over again, right? Anyway, what was the question?
Nice.
That was pretty much it.
Well answered.
I'll answer three questions before I get to the one that you asked.
I want to really, really quickly jump to the silence. I feel like I'm cutting Brandon off, but that's okay.
Yeah,
right.
It's just Brandon.
You know,
yeah, it's just
I got the whatever. Beard. I don't need anything else. It's okay.
Yeah, lumber guy. Meditation and prayer. Where can somebody who wants to learn how to meditate go ahead and find that out?
My favorite app for meditation. So that's what I tell people. Like in the book, I say there's basically two forms of meditation. I mean, there's thousands, but there's two. There's guided meditation, which is where you listen to an audio typically, right? Or you could watch a video, but typically you listen to an audio and that. You know, and that someone else is guiding you through what to think or focus on or how to breathe or whatever. Then there's meditation on your own, right? Which is harder if you're new because you sit there and you're like, am I doing it right? You get all insecure. You're like, it's just, wait, aren't I supposed to clear my mind? I'm thinking. I can't stop thinking. I can't even, you know, you're a mess. So my favorite app is called Om Vana. It's O, M as in Mary, V, A, N as in Nancy, A, Om Vana. That's my favorite meditation app. And there's a meditation on there called it's free when the app's free and the meditation's free. It's called the 6-phase meditation by Vision Lakhiani. That's my favorite meditate, but that's a 20-minute one. I don't do it every day. I usually do like a 5-minute throughout the day. You can go to YouTube and just search 5-minute meditation and you'll get one. So that's right. How I recommend starting.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. Affirmations.
So this is my favorite to talk about because two reasons. Number one, the way that I'm going to explain affirmations right now is really a good example of how all of the savers are addressed in the book, which is they're very action-oriented and practical. And most of these practices are kind of elusive or kind of mystical or kind of like meditation is a great example, right? And I think one of the reasons that the book has resonated with people so well and that they've actually stuck to it is I'm not this great fancy writer. Like I'm good at dumbing things down and making it really actionable and really simple, you know? And I think that's where it works. And so affirmations are my favorite part of the savers, first and foremost, right? People ask me, do you have a favorite saver? And I do, I'm biased. Affirmations are my favorite. Now, affirmations, what's interesting is my community has told me that's the one that before the Miracle Morning, they had the hardest time with. And I thought, well, that's weird because that's my favorite and it was a struggle for most. Here's why I believe that is. The majority of, like, the way it's been perpetuated, affirmations for decades, one of two ways that are really ineffective. Number one, lie to yourself, right? Like if you want to be a millionaire, just say, I am a millionaire over and over and over until you trick yourself into believing it. Well, lying is never going to be the optimum strategy, right? That the truth will always prevail. So when you go, I am a millionaire, your subconscious goes, dude, no, you're not. You're not even a thousandaire. Like, you know? So that's the first part is the first strategy, and people have tried it, like I am blank, and they reject it. Their subconscious rejects it. Yeah.
And I was going to say, I'm going to guess most people think of affirmations like I do, which is Michael Jordan and Stuart Smalley. I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and got, you know, people like me, right?
Yep. That's another problem, right? Is that, and that's how I knew him. The Stuart, we're dating ourselves with Stuart Smalley, but yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
The younger listeners are like, who? I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. So that's one problem. And then the other problem with affirmations is they use this, they're taught in this flowery passive language. And I'm still amazed that some of the people that I really respect and I've learned a lot from, they still teach affirmations these ways. The flowery language, here's an example. You've probably heard some variation of this, which is money flows to me effortlessly and in abundance. No, it doesn't, right? Like that's not how money works. You don't sit back on your couch and do your Miracle Morning and affirm it and it shows up, right? You got to put value into the world. You got to add value to your customers, your clients, your marketplace, your whatever. And then you're rewarded with money. And so the way that I teach affirmations, it's very action-oriented and practical. I'll give you just a real, like a quick synopsis of this. Rather than lying to yourself and saying, I am something I'm not, or using flowery language that, the reason, by the way, some people like the second form of affirmations of money flows to me effortlessly in abundance and in abundance is because it gives you temporary relief of your financial worries. You go, ah, money is going to flow to me. And every day, they have that period of affirmations where they feel better, but their bank account balance doesn't change. I want my, if I'm doing affirmations or any of these practices, I want my body fat to show, right? The percentage to decrease, my bank account to increase, my wife to tell me that I'm awesome more often, right? Like, I want results. And so here's the deal with affirmations. Instead of lying to yourself or giving yourself this flowery passive promise that life's going to be okay, it's just going to work itself out, right? I focus affirmations in the book on teaching you how to make them practical and actionable and results oriented. So here's a like a real simple four-step kind of process. So you, I teach you to affirm, number one, what you want. Like, what are the goals, the big goals that are really important to you? Number one, what do you want? Number two, why do you want it? What are the top 3 to 5 reasons that are compelling and that are motivating enough for you to push through the challenges and obstacles, because that reminds you of why you're doing what you're doing and why you're working towards what you're working towards. The third thing is, what are the obstacles that have held you back in the past or could hold you back on the journey? Most people don't think about that. And then when they encounter those obstacles, they weren't prepared for them. And so they stop them in their tracks. But if you already thought through what are those obstacles going to be, and every day you're reading those affirmations, you're reminding yourself, this is what could go wrong, but I'm committed to do X, Y, or Z so it doesn't go wrong. And then that's the final part of the affirmation process, is what specifically must you do and when specifically will you commit to do it to ensure that you achieve that goal? So the way that affirmations are taught in this way, it's not this fantasy, it's not this promise, it's not this, I'm going to, this lying to yourself. It's, here's what I want, here's why I want it, here's what could get in my way, and what I'm committed to doing to ensure that I achieve my goals and when I'm committed to doing them. And when you recite that and you read that every day, you're setting yourself up for success. You're programming your conscious, your subconscious, and your behaviors to be in alignment with your vision for what you want for your life. So those are the affirmation component.
So maybe awesome. Like, okay, so for example, if I've got my units, I might say, I'm committed, instead of just saying I want 100 units, I'm committed, or I am going to get, like, or I want, would you say?
I like that word.
Yeah, I'm committed to 100 units because I want to be around for my kids, for every event that they go to when I have children. I don't want to have a job telling me what I can and cannot be at their, soccer game. And I know that it's going to be difficult to raise the money for that. I've struggled in the past with meeting people that could help me get that. So I'm going to, commit to meeting more people, connecting with them, going to real life, places, interacting on forums. And so that way, by the time my kids are 5 years old, I will have 100 units. Is that?
Yeah, I would. So the only thing I would coach you on there is I would instead of going to more events and this and that, right? I would say I'm committed to dedicating 3 hours a day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. to work on getting closer to 100 units and clarifying my, so you're very, it's important to be so specific in terms of even timing, right? Like, so not just what I'm going, because if all you have is what I'm going to do, that leaves room for I'll do that later. That leaves room for procrastination. But if your affirmations are affirming, I'm committed to doing this action from this time to this time on these days of the week, now there's no wiggle room. There's, it's 8 a.m. on Monday. And I've been every day, I remind myself that 8 a.m. on Monday, I'm doing X, Y, and Z. Well, then when 8 a.m. rolls around, you're programmed to do those things.
Yeah. Hey, Hal, are we reciting this? Are we writing this? Are we doing the same thing every day of the week, saying the same thing?
Yeah, affirmations are written, for sure. And that's why they're my favorite part. See, like, I'll be very honest, visualization, which is the next step in Savers, the V, that is my least That's of all the practices that resonate with me, it's the least. And I don't know if it's something on my brain or, but when it's in writing, I literally get to design my future, right? Like I get to design it. And I'll say this, affirmations are always a rough draft. Like it's always a rough draft. I'm editing my affirmations all the time. When I'm reading a book and I'm like, ooh, I need to do that. I need to think that way. I need to remember that. I need to practice that. I literally go to my affirmations and I write word for word. I'll add that in there. So my affirmations are always being edited. And also I'll read something. I'll go, dude, I got that down. I've been doing that for 4 months. Like I don't need to read that anymore and I'll take it out, you know? So yeah, affirmations, they're always in rough draft form. So I do mine. I use an app on my phone called Day One. And it's a journaling app and I just use it. You could use notes, you could use anything. I always have my affirmations there. So one of my affirmations are, my primary affirmations are called my 2016 goals and affirmations, and they're dated for December 31st, 2016. And that way in the app, they're always at the top, right? Like they'll be at the top until December 31st, 2016. And then I have most of my affirmations are in there. And then I have some specific ones around like how to be a better husband. It's its own affirmation because it's so important, you know, be a better father. So that sort of thing.
That's cool. Nice. That's cool. Now I wanted to talk about one thing. I had this question down later in the list of questions we're asking you, but I think it fits here pretty well. And that is this. So you wrote The Miracle Morning and then you co-wrote or whatever, The Miracle Morning for Real Estate Agents and The Miracle Morning for Salespeople, correct?
And The Miracle Morning for Network Marketers just came out. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. That's right. So you've got like these other ones. So one of them I read, The Miracle Morning for Salespeople, because I thought that would be a good thing for me to know, both in terms of my real estate investing and in terms of what I do at Bigger Pockets. So I thought that'd be a good thing to know. So I read this book and it was very much like The Miracle Morning, but had more specifics for sales stuff, which I thought was great. But one thing in there that stood out to me, and it was one of those, like, you know, in life, there's these like defining moments for me, like Rich Dad Poor Dad. When I read that, it changed things. 4-Hour Work Week changed things for me. The One Thing changed things. And it was this quote that you said in that book. It changed how I thought about everything. It said this: every result that you desire is preceded by a process that is required to produce the result. When you define your process and commit to it for an extended period of time, the results take care of themselves. And I remember that just like, I read that and then I like read it again and I read it again. I read it like 10 times because I was like, that's like life-changing stuff. Like I was thinking in terms of like, if I want six-pack abs, I can hang up a picture on my wall of a guy with six-pack abs. So I could do all these things that I want. But at the end of the day, it's a process. It's something that I'm committed to doing. Like you said, I commit from, you know, 3 hours a day to work on getting those 100 units. Like if you have a process down, the results take care of themselves. Can you talk a little bit about that? I know I just did, but.
Yeah, no, but it is. I really believe it's one of, like when I was in sales, which I mean, we're still in sales, right? But I was a direct sales rep where I went to people's homes. I sold them Cutco kitchen knives for 5 years. You know, that was my start in life, 19 to 25 years old. But it was one night when I had a bad night on the phone, right? Like I called, you know, 30 people or whatever, and I only got a hold of 3, and they were all really rude. And like the last one, like hung up on me and said, "Don't ever call me again. I hate you." And I just like had the feeling in my, I'm like, why? Like I'm a nice person. Like why would she, you know, talk to me like that, right? And that night, I was like going to bed, like tossing and turning, going, I want to go get like a regular job where I just like, I can't deal with this anymore, you know, the rejection and the emotional ups and downs. And I had this epiphany. I realized I'm emotionally attached to the results, but the results on a day-to-day basis don't matter because the averages work themselves out if you commit over a long period of time. And it was this epiphany where I went, I'm set up for this. Like I'm not set up to optimize the game that I'm playing, right? The business, the sales game that I'm playing, because I'm emotionally attached to my results, which means good day of sales, I feel great. Bad day of sales, I feel like crap. And I'm riding this roller coaster. And I thought, the only thing that I am in control of, like I'm not in control of how a customer decides to respond, is the process of how many times I pick up the phone and dial a number. And I realized at the end of the year, if I sell X amount, it's based on how many times I picked up the phone and dialed a number. And then I realized the epiphany was, if I were to sell double that amount, it would simply meant that I picked up the phone twice as many times. And it was epiphany. I went, if I commit to the, like it was at that point, it was a theory kind of, I go kind of The Miracle Morning. I go, I'm going to try something. I go, I'm going to set a goal. I go, I'm going to make 20 calls for the next 5 days and I'm going to see how that averages out. Like how many sales do I make with that many calls? And then I'm going to determine how many calls I need to make based on how much I'm trying to sell this year. And I thought, and I'm going to every day commit to the process of making that amount of calls, and I'm going to have zero emotional attachment to my results. If I have another day where I have 30 calls and no one talks to me, I don't care as long as I made the calls.
Yep.
Because I know that tomorrow or next week or whatever, I'll make 30 calls and set 8 appointments and sell X amount of, right? So it was this theory, and I committed to do it for 4 months, like an experiment where I'm going to every day set a call goal, my process, and I'm going to not worry about anything. And so it was amazing. My manager hated it because he always had to track the numbers. So he'd be like, well, what's your sales goal this week? What are you going to commit to selling? I'm like, I'm going to make 20 calls a day for 5 days and I'll let you know how that works out, right? He's like, so he hated it. But here's the deal. At the end of the 4 months, it was the first 4 months of the year. It was 2001, I think. I was the number one sales rep in our company out of 40 or 50,000 sales reps. Wow. Applying that approach. So here's the beauty of it. Not only was I number one in sales, I was in last place for stress. Right? Like all my competition, my colleagues were still riding the emotional roller coaster. If I made 20 calls and it didn't matter if I sold, it didn't matter. I made 20 calls and I patted myself on the back and I was done. And yeah. And that was it. And so that was the results. And I realized it applied to every area of life. Like you said, there is a process that precedes getting in shape, making money, selling real estate, everything.
Yeah.
And really quickly, this, you know, our audience, real estate investors, you know, whether they're making calls on absentee owners or, you know, in their sales and their marketing, the same thing can apply, you know, to pull the emotional part out and use, you know, the emotionless, you know, quantifiable numbers, goals, things like that, they can accomplish the exact same thing.
I mean, getting specific, like I'll tell you how I think of real estate. I think of it in terms of a funnel, very much like you pick up the phone, right? So here's what I tell people all the time. I'm constantly telling people this, like, how many deals did you buy this week? And people are like, oh, I didn't buy any. I'm like, well, why not? Well, I don't know. I didn't have any to buy. Okay. Well, how many offers did you make? Well, none. Well, how many did you analyze? Well, none. I'm like, okay. So if you want more deals, I mean, these are like hypothetical numbers, but let's just say if you were to analyze 3 deals every single day, three deals, sit down and analyze the numbers on them. That's roughly 100 in a month. If you were to analyze 100 in a month and you were to make offers, you were just going to write up an offer on 10% of them. Great. That's 10 offers a month. What if 1 out of 10 offers, which is about my record, 1 out of 10 offers gets accepted? So what would that mean? It means if I just analyze 3 deals a day and just work my process, I'd buy a house every month. I mean, like, I don't have to worry about the ups and downs of, oh, I got rejected again, and that seller said no, and this one didn't work out. And no, I got a process. I analyze 3 deals a day. And I encourage people all the time to run that process or make up their own process and just run it.
Yeah, you're exactly right. That's exactly it. You define the process, you commit to the process without being emotionally attached to the results. And at the end of the year, you go, and maybe you have 10 deals instead of 12. Yeah. Or maybe you have 14, but in general, right, you average about what you're supposed to average. So, yeah.
And that's one of those things I said, like, just changed my life on how I think about real estate and like how I teach real estate today, what I write articles about, how I do it in my own life, because it's changed everything. So anyway, I love that.
We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find a home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours even on the same day with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help you get the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Top real estate investors love to talk about how they save so much on taxes. But how are they able to build rental property empires while skirting Uncle Sam? 1031 exchanges. 1031 exchanges allow you to defer capital gains taxes while you sell an investment property, exchanging your old property for a bigger, better one and avoiding the tax man while you do it. And that's where First American Exchange Company comes in. They're the leaders in 1031 exchanges. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, First American Exchange can help you with simple rental property exchanges, complex commercial real estate investments, reverse exchanges, and more. Don't let your taxes eat into your profits. Visit First American Exchange Company at firstexchange.com or call them at 800-556-2520. That's firstexchange.com or 800-556-2520. Keep your money in your pocket and propel your portfolio further at firstexchange.com. First American Exchange Company does not provide tax or legal advice. Consult your financial, real estate, tax, or legal advisor about your circumstances. First American Exchange Company. Safe, smart, secure.
As home prices and interest rates continue to rise and inventory levels dip, it's getting harder to find quality flips and wholesale deals. When there's not enough on-market inventory to go around, it's time to start looking off-market. Lucky for you, there are millions of homeowners nationwide who own a property they need to get off their hands. I got two words for you, my friend. PropStream it. PropStream is the leading real estate data provider and recognized as a Tech 100 honoree by Housing Wire for the fourth consecutive year. With PropStream, you can search over 155 million properties nationwide using 120-plus search filters like pre-foreclosure, bankruptcy, pre-probate, failed listings, and more to help you find motivated sellers in seconds. PropStream offers both public record data and an MLS sales estimate that's over 99% accurate to help you get the most accurate comps even in non-disclosure states. PropStream also provides lead automation, skip tracing, and a marketing suite with emails, postcards, and custom landing pages to close more deals efficiently. Get started today with their 7-day free trial and get 50 leads for free. Head on over to www.propstream.com/BP. That's www.propstream.com/BP.
But we're going to move on. Let's go to V. What's the V on savers?
Oh, we're still on savers. That's right. visualization. And I will share one point about visualization, and this is kind of similar to affirmations. It's kind of a shorter point here, but most visualization is typically taught by, again, these gurus, if you will, as visualize your ideal result. Like The Secret was a very popular movie, and it was a great movie, in a lot of ways. But basically, the actionable was make a vision board. Like, that was it. Literally, make a vision board. Put pictures of what you want on the wall and then sit back. And they literally showed a cartoon genie. They're like, it's like a genie. They go, the genie goes, your wish is my command. I just watched it the other day because we're making a documentary and we're studying what they did well because they had some good, production and stuff. But it's like, your wish is my command, right? It's like, no, that doesn't work that
and
way.
This is why a lot of people like myself, like, have a really hard time buying into this stuff. Like, what we're talking about so far, everything, by the way, I haven't read your book. I try to go into these interviews completely blind, completely stupid, and
that's
usually
a great
I come
way
out
to justify
ahead.
Justify you not reading the book is,
hey, now I go.
I strategically wanted to go in with zero knowledge.
yeah, I could live with myself. Listen,
all right,
no, but I mean, I think a lot of people, and I know I'm not alone in saying, this mumbo jumbo crap is just nonsense. Oh, I'm going to be a genie and suddenly, wishes are going to be granted to me. Come on, yep. Give me a break. So, what we're talking about here, the savers so far, I mean, like, I'm buying into it. I get it. You're selling me. You're doing a great job. I love it. I want to hear more. Let's keep going.
Let's go. So here you go. So you're going to, if you're liking the tone so far, you're going to love this example. So visualization, the way that it's taught, again, it's the genie, it's the visualize what you want, it magically happens. It doesn't work that way. Yeah. Now, there are two parts to the way that I teach visualization in the Miracle Morning. The way that I break it down is part one is, yes, visualize the end result, right? Like, see your ideals coming to fruition. And here's why. The science has proven what that does is it establishes the belief that it's possible. Once you see something as what it would look like when it came to fruition, now you go, wait, maybe that is possible. Until you know what it looks like, it's just an idea bouncing around in your conscious, surrounded by fear. Think about that. If you imagine all of we all have dreams and desires and goals. Imagine that every dream, desire, or goal that we have is floating around somewhere in our consciousness, and it's surrounded by, imagine it like this little ball of unlimited potential, unlimited energy, but it's surrounded by a membrane that is dark and cloudy, that is fear and insecurity. And what happens is that keeps our goals and dreams from coming to fruition. But when we visualize, for the moments that we're visualizing, we allow that membrane of fear to open up, and that unlimited energy, we see what it would look like if it were to be let free. And that increases the belief that, wow, that is possible. I now see it. Maybe I could create it. But the second part of visualization that's arguably the most important part that's rarely taught, except for athletes, is visualizing what you have to do today to ensure that that long-term vision comes true. So athletes do it. They visualize themselves, you know, running the marathon or playing nine holes of golf or 18 holes. I don't think many. Anyway, whatever. So that shows you what, I'm not a very good golfer. I do nine holers, but it's all I have the attention span for. But the point is, right, athletes, they see, like they always say, I'm a big fan of UFC, like mixed martial arts. And you see the best fighters usually go, I saw this fight playing out in every possible scenario. I saw what happens if I get taken down, and then I visualize what I would do in that scenario, on and on. So I'll give you a very real example. When I was writing The Miracle Morning, it was one of those unlimited balls of potential that was surrounded by fear of, who am I to write this book? No one's going to buy it. No one's going to, I don't know. People think they're not morning people. Who am I to overcome that belief for them, right? And so every day I visualized both of those parts. Number one, I saw the end result. I pictured this, right? And I literally had the cover designed like a year before the book came out, so I could literally see what it would look like. And I pictured people reading it. Then I pictured them telling their friend, you have to read this book. So that was the end result, right? If I would have left it at that, though, all it would have done was tricked me into feeling good, like it was going to happen without my effort. So then the most important part is I visualized myself at my computer, and I would see myself typing, and I would picture an expression and feel an emotion of going, all the thoughts are coming, all the words are coming to me. And it was the vision, not just of the end result, but of the action, that got me fired up to open my eyes and open my computer and type. And the same thing when I was training for the marathon, I saw myself lacing up my running shoes, smiling as I headed out the front door, because I hate running. So I visualized what it would look like and feel like if I enjoyed it, and that got me emotionally in the state to go run. So that's the key to visualization and making it effective, in my opinion.
Now, when you,
that sounds great.
When you say visualization, I mean, are you talking about actually sitting there and then closing your eyes and thinking about it? Or are you talking about making a vision board, or what does that look like actionably?
So for me, vision boards are fine. I think they're cute and they're fun more than anything. I mean, they're not bad, you sure. know, but again, if you have a vision board and you have a vision of what you want, that all that is the end result, right? So yep. If you see the end result, you see the family or the house or whatever, that's my vision board I'm looking at, by the way, which I rarely ever look at. But the, right, then you close your eyes and you see, you maybe start with the question. I would say, what do I have to do today to ensure that I move toward that vision? And you close your eyes and you see yourself doing it. And more importantly, or as important, you feel what it's going to feel like to do what you need to do in an optimum state. And where visualization is powerful is the things that you hate doing. That's one of the best ways to use it, right? I hated running. So I visualized running, like I said, with a smile. I was scared to write. I had writer's block. So you visualize yourself like an athlete performing in an ideal way today that will put the championship, right, you know, on your trophy shelf.
Cool. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And it kind of indoctrinates the one thing that we're big fans of from Papasan and
yeah,
Keller. And yeah, that's awesome. All right. So E, exercise. Yeah, that's Brandon's six-pack abs. Let's see it. Come on, Pip.
Yeah, show. No thanks.
Oh, okay. So, super quick on exercise is that usually the question I get asked is like, well, does that mean I do this instead of going into the gym in the afternoon or whatever? No, whatever you currently do, keep doing it. And then you simply add 5 minutes in the morning, or it could be 10, of stretching, jumping jacks. And again, the reason is, goes back to the question, Josh, that you asked, is the benefits of morning exercise are profound and proven. So to not get the blood flowing to your brain first thing in the morning would be silly. Like, why would you not do that? So what Kiyosaki said when he interviewed me on his podcast, Robert Kiyosaki said, Hal, I almost skipped over this part because I go to the gym in the afternoon. And I was thinking, I'm not going to do my exercise in the morning. He goes, but I'm glad I read it. He goes, because all it did was I do 3 minutes of exercise during my Sabres. He said, that's it. I do I forgot what it was, like stretching, jumping jacks or whatever. But all it is get the blood to the brain, oxygen flowing through your body so that you feel better, you have more energy, you're more aware, you think clearer, etc. So that's it for exercise. Just do a little bit in the morning. And a great app on the phone, by the way, is called 7-Minute Workout.
I was just going to suggest that. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, that's a great way to do it. Or just like I said, you could even at the very least 1 minute of jumping jacks. That's all you need. 1 minute of jumping jacks is a game changer in your mental and physical energy levels in the morning.
Yeah, love it. Love it. R, reading.
The R is for reading. And again, it's a simple one. I mean, you know, don't read 50 Shades of Grey or Harry Potter. I mean, not that you can't, but I don't think those are right. But I really believe that we are all only one book away. Whoa. We're all only one book away from gaining the knowledge that we need in whatever area of our life we want to take it to the next level. You know, the Miracle Morning was obviously that for me. If you're having trouble in your relationship, you know, go read the 5 love languages and go apply it, and your marriage or your relationship's going to improve. You know, if you're a shitty parent, go read the book. It's called Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids. It's a game changer, right? Read that. Brandon, you're about to have kids. Give that to your wife or read it yourself, right? Anyway, so that's reading, right? It's reading. And let me just quantify this real quick. If you read just, let's say, 10 pages a day, right? 10 pages a day. You know, that, if you're a slow reader, that takes you 20 minutes. If you're a fast reader, it's maybe 10. But if you actually were to quantify that, 10 pages per day over the course of a year, that's 3,650 pages. That is the equivalent of 18 200-page books. If you're reading a book and a half a month or even a book a month, that 12 books a year on areas of your life you want to improve, dude, you will be a different person after, you know. So, I mean, that really is the key. And then when you read in the morning, right, you immediately get to implement what you read, which is kind of how I turned turning my life around was taking that advice from my buddy.
Yeah, I do. Fantastic. I do my reading in my like Miracle Morning time. It's the last thing I do, and I always read one chapter of a business book. And so I've got like 15 books now. Like my next 15 like lined up. I just grab the next one on top. I read one chapter a day. When I get to the bottom, I do the next one. And there that way it's the last thing I do. And so then I always like I'm always like sending Josh messages like, oh, we got to do this, and I just got this great idea, and this is gonna be a great post, and because I'm always reading these books right before I start work for the day.
Yeah, I get the 6 a.m. text. Yeah. You know, I've got drool coming out of my face and Brandon's all excited about something.
I mean, that just goes back to what we were saying, right? When you do it in the morning, like it just fires you up for the whole rest of the day. It sets you up so well for the next 8 hours or whatever you spend on it. So
yeah, so cool. That's the question is when 6 a.m. rolls around, do you want to be drooling like Josh or fire? that's your choice.
That's I like twice this guy. Now. All right, this is like the second time. Okay.
You told me to make fun of Brandon. I thought, you're actually right. I was complimenting Brandon on his beard. You're right. I do need to give Brandon some shit.
Yeah, I can take a little bit of a hard time. All right. Yeah. Scribing. I mean, you didn't know what the hell it meant, right? So what is scribing?
So, I mean, journaling, right, is what it originally was, but the word savorja didn't flow very well, right? J at the end. So luckily scribing, and actually I do like that it's scribing because it really does enable, I mean, it's when you put pen to paper, there's magic. I mean, right, there's magic because, and here's why. It forces you to articulate your thoughts enough to form sentences, right? That's why. So journaling has been, you know, I mean, Jim Rohn, same guy that, you know, inspired this whole thing. He swore by journaling, and a lot of folks do. But my favorite journal is called 5-Minute Journal. It's FIVE5MinuteJournal.com. And it's a physical journal.
Looking if I have one. I have one somewhere in here. But it takes 5 minutes a day. In fact, I made a journal based on the best of all the journals. So there is actually a Miracle Morning Journal on Amazon. But I always tell people, I go, look, the Miracle Morning Journal is cool, but I use 5 Minute Journal. So that's the one that I use. And then if you like digital, like I said, I think 5 Minute Journal has an app coming out. But right now I use Day One for my phone.
So what are we journaling? What are we writing?
Yeah, good question. So I'll use 5 Minute Journal as an example.
Dear Diary.
It asks you, what are three things that you're grateful for? What are three things that you need to do to win today, to make today great? That's basically the morning. That's it. Very simple, right? And it's almost like if you were to boil down the essence of what to focus on every morning in your journal, it's what are three things you're grateful for, which is taking inventory of your present life, right? And feeling as good about it as you can. And then what are three things you need to do to make today great is about creating the future life, right? So, I mean, that's it. That's all it does in the morning. And then 5 Minute Journal has an evening entry where it says, what are three things I could have done better today? And what are three things that were great, that three amazing things that happened today, and three things I could have done better. So that's a real simple format, you know, that you can use for journaling.
That's cool. So I read you wrote somewhere that the 5 Minute Journal. So I went and they were sold out at the time on their website. So I went and got the app, and I really struggle. I mean, out of all the things on Savers, like scribing is the one that I do not do very well. And I struggle with. So I just the other day picked up, and I suppose I could go back and rebuy the 5 Minute Journal now, but I picked up Grant Cardone's the 10X Planner. Okay. I'm a big fan of the 10X rule. So it's basically the same concept. I'm going to give this a try and see if I'm better at this than I was at the digital version, the app. But I just wasn't good at like typing on my phone, like trying to journal. It was just weird for me. But
I'm weird. See, I don't like to write by hand. I like to, even though I know science has proven that when you write by hand, it makes a deeper impression on your subconscious because you're physically forming letters versus going, this is all the same to your, right? The mind-body connection, this is all the same. But when you're forming letter, so there are benefits to writing by hand, but I actually, see, we're the opposite there. I prefer to do it by hand or by digitally. And I will say another option for scribing, I just went last night to John Lee Dumas's book launch party for the Freedom Journal. And the Freedom Journal, for people, you know, go to thefreedomjournal.com and kind of compare these different things. And there's a bunch now that are coming out on Kickstarter. Everybody's got a new journal.
Yeah.
But the Freedom Journal is how to achieve your number one goal in 100 days. And it's got a morning entry and an evening entry. And, you know, again, that's why I like scribing, because there's all different forms that you could, you know, that you could apply it to.
Yeah, I got one of those digital copies of John Lee Dumas's book. Yeah, it was really good. I mean, I thought it reminded me of the same thing. It's like they're all kind of similar, and they all have their kind of strengths and weaknesses. But the importance is just having one. I think it's powerful, but I just need to get better at it.
Nice. Yep. Well, all right. So let's bring this back. We started the show. We asked you the question, why the hell are we having you on the show? You know, what's the point? You just gave us all this great stuff and all this guru mumbo jumbo. I'm not going to use the word guru, but all this mumbo jumbo that's supposed to help us out. And you know, I think it's great. I'm a skeptic. And I think this makes sense, and I'm going to give it a shot myself.
Yeah, before the podcast, he's like, "Who's this Hal guy anyway? What are we talking to him about?
How much real estate does he own?
How much do you pay you to be on this show?"
Yeah. All right, shut up. Listen, we've got real estate investors. We've got real estate agents. They can buy the agent book. We've got investors. We've got people in the business. So these are people who are trying to build better lives for themselves. They're trying to build businesses. They're trying to build wealth. You know, I think people who come through and listen to the Bigger Pockets podcast have already made the decision that they're trying to improve themselves, at least on the financial component of their lives. I'm assuming that this is going to change their lives beyond just the financial. This is going to affect them across the board. The question we had was, how can listeners, investors apply this stuff to themselves?
Yeah, I think that here's to kind of bring it all together, if you look at the savers, right, any one of those six practices are game changers. Like, you'd be hard pressed to find some, you know, anyone that's very successful in life that doesn't swear by at least one of those. you know? And to Kiyosaki's point, when you combine all six of them, that's why I think people see results so fast, because they're doing the six most proven, powerful personal development practices that have been done for like centuries by all these people, you know? And they're doing all of them. And that's where you see these amazing results. And so what I always tell people, like when I give, you know, I speak a lot, I'm a keynote speaker. When I finish a speech, I always say, okay, everybody, you're all fired up. You have like, you know, Josh, you said it's making sense. Like I see the logic here. I always say, do not wait. Don't wait another day. Don't wait a day to start this. Don't wait until you don't go, well, I'm going to wait till I've read the book. We always do that. We always go, I'm going to wait till the new year to actually, you know, be disciplined. I'm going to wait till I finish the book. I'll just settle for mediocrity for one more day or one more week. That's how we live, right? And so the essence of the Miracle Morning is very simple. Set your alarm clock back 30 to 60 minutes right now. Like pause the show, set it back. And the first premise of the Miracle Morning is that you're waking up at a time every morning before you have to be up. That's the first part. That helps you become the person that you need to be to create everything you want for your life with the discipline and the motivation and the focus and the commitment. So that's part number one, is set your alarm clock back right now. Wake up 30 minutes earlier tomorrow. You know, do it for the next, commit for 30 days. I'd make a public commitment, by the way. In fact, go into everybody listening, come into the Miracle Morning community. We have one of the most engaged online communities I've ever seen. We just crossed 30,000 members this morning from Facebook, all around the world. Say again?
That's on Facebook, right?
Facebook, yeah.
I'm part of that. I love it. Yeah.
Oh, you are? Yeah. It blows my mind. We have like 200 people a day that join from all around the world just that are reading the book, you know? So that's a great place though to go and get support and accountability. And just if you spend 5 minutes reading posts, you'll be like, holy crap. Like this is like either all these people, you know, there's 30,000 paid people to like say that this is changing their life or it's like a real thing, you know? So wake up 30 minutes earlier or 60 if you want to really go for it. And during the first 30 minutes, do something of personal development. You don't have to don't wait till you master the sabers. A lot of people, they just start reading the Miracle Morning during their first, you know, Miracle Mornings. They just wake up 30 minutes earlier, they read the book, and then as they get to each of the sabers, they go, oh, okay, here's silence. Here's how I can try meditating. I'll put that in, right? So wake up 30 minutes earlier and do one of the sabers. Meditate for half an hour, exercise, do half and half, read for 15, exercise 15, whatever you want, but start right now and commit for 30 days. What do you have to lose? 30 days from now, I'm telling you, you'll be a different person, because the essence of the Miracle Morning is that you wake up every morning and you become a better version of who you were when you went to bed the night before. And that's really what it's about.
Wow. I love it. So after 30 days, I'll have a thick beard like Brandon.
No, I've tried. That's one thing. I don't know. It hasn't been in my affirmation. You know what? I'm going to take a picture of Brandon, screenshot, put it on my vision board.
There you go.
Visualize.
I have a beard and it's visualize wonderful.
Growing my follicles. I'm going to see my follicles growing every day.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, we have these four questions that we ask everyone. This is known as our
famous four.
All right. These questions we ask every single guest, and we may have to tweak the first one a little bit because you are not a real estate investor, and that's okay. The four questions are, I'm going to ask you it directly and then you can tweak it if you need to.
Okay.
Number one, what is your favorite real estate related book other than your own?
I do have one. That's my own. All right. If the one thing counts, I mean, one thing is absolutely, it's one of my favorite books. It's just a simple, but a game changer. Yeah. The one thing.
Yeah. I love there the one go. Thing. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
Number two,
business book, non real estate. So, you know, we should have shifted and had the first question be favorite, like productivity book or self-help.
I'll share a book that's pretty, it's not real mainstream, but it's kind of an underground cult, you know, classic, if you will. You ever heard of The Millionaire Fastlane by MJ DeMarco?
Yeah. I love the book.
Oh, yeah. So I love that book. And it's one that, you know, yeah, it's kind of under the radar, but it really shifted my mindset around creating a, you know, some passive, scalable, you know, business and income that could free up my lifestyle a little bit. So yeah, The Millionaire Fastlane is one of my favorites.
Kind of like having a book that's, you know, got 1,100 reviews that just sells itself.
That is true. Yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Something like
that. But it's funny when I was reading the Millionaire Fastlane, he said that. He goes, this book is an example of a, you know, Millionaire Fastlane where, right, while I'm sleeping, it's still selling copies. So yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Nice. All right, cool. Hobbies. What do you do for fun? I mean, you're this energetic guy. I mean, what gets you excited?
Love playing with my kids. But I'm probably most, most passionate about as far as like hobbies is UFC. I am actually a huge mixed martial arts fan, and not because I necessarily like violence. I mean, I'm like the most anti-violent person, you know, I can never hurt anybody, but the mindset that it takes to go into a cage, not to mention you've got to master like seven different disciplines. You've got to be, a black belt in karate and taekwondo. You got to be a great, but all these things. So yeah, anyway, that's more than you need to know, but I'm a huge last weekend, we went to Vegas. I took my wife to the first UFC VIP experience, and I want to write one of my dreams. I want to blend my passions and write the Miracle Morning for UFC fighters. So I connected with some of the champions there and like got their cards. And yeah, I'll just show UFC right there.
Nice.
But anyway, so yeah, there you go.
That's cool.
Wow.
That's cool.
Awesome. That's great, man. That's great. All right. Well,
last
question for Brandon.
All right, number four, the famous four. What do you believe sets apart successful maybe real estate investors, or I can just say people in general? What sets apart successful people from those who give up, fail, or never get started?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to boil it down to one, right? I mean, there's so many components of, you know, they gain clarity on what they want, all these things. But if I did have to boil it down to one, I think it's the difference between doing versus becoming. So the world's most successful people, like the average person thinks the key to achieve more is to do more. So they think, well, I got to work harder, I got to do more. But if you're doing more of the same thing, you're often not going to get, you know, very far. And I think that the epiphany for me, and it's kind of what the Miracle Morning, one of the foundations of the concept is, instead of focusing on doing more, focus on becoming more. And when you focus on becoming more, the interesting thing is not only do you achieve more, but you often achieve more by doing less. Right? When you become more, you become more knowledgeable, become more skilled, become more emotionally intelligent, become more connected, become more resilient, right? When you become a better version of yourself, become more, you find that you attract people and opportunities and success that you never even imagined possible for yourself. And it wouldn't have come by just doing more of what you already knew. You had to become more so you could do things that you didn't even realize were possible, at one point.
Yeah, awesome. I love it.
That's great. All right. Where can people find out more about you, man? I know you've chatted about it. I think there's this thing called the Miracle Morning.
Yeah, Miracle Morning. If you want to get the book, Amazon's the best place to get it. And you know, they have, you know, you can do audiobook, Kindle, or paperback. They also, if you're an Apple user, which I'm a huge Apple fan, of course, iBooks, you know, it is on iBooks now. But if you want to get a hold of me, go to halelrod.com, and my podcast is there. You know, we do live events now. That, you know, that's the hub, obviously, halelrod.com. And then last but not least, like I said earlier, man, everybody, I encourage you, come join the Miracle Morning community on Facebook. Like, I don't make money off that. I don't get anything from it, except the amazing sense of, you know, fulfillment of seeing people support each other. It's really cool.
It is amazing. I mean, as somebody who runs a outstanding community, my chance to plug Bigger Pockets to the Bigger Pockets audience. I mean, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, coming together, doing the exact same thing with this passion, excitement for real estate. There's nothing like it. I get it. It's really rare. It's really hard to find a great, passionate community. And so kudos to you on building one. That's fantastic.
Ditto, Josh. Brandon, thank you guys.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, listen, man, thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. I'm excited. I hope to report back to you with some success.
I know. I wanted to do a follow-up episode called like Josh's 30-day Miracle Morning Challenge results.
Nice. You know? I feel like I'm in rehab or something. I don't know. My name is Josh and I'm a saver-holic.
Snooze-holic. That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. Dude. All right, guys. Thanks, man.
Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
All right, guys, that was Hal Elrod. What was it? Was it everything that you'd hoped it be, Brandon?
It was everything I hoped it would be. Yeah, I you know, The Miracle Morning is not a complicated book. It's not a long book. It's a very simple book. And I think Hal would admit that as well. Like, it's not like a overly complicated, like, do these 50 steps in your life and you'll get better. It's like, right, Wake up a little earlier, focus on yourself, set your morning. And like, he made that quote in there about, or that he talked about, it's like, you know, Christmas morning. It felt like that. That's what I feel like when I'm like on the Miracle Morning, like, kick, where I'll go like a month or two on, then I'm like, oh, I'm tired, and I'll like get off of it. And then I have to reread the book and I'll get back on it again. I do that quite often, but like, that's what it feels like. It's like when you wake up for vacation or you wake up for Christmas, you're never, you know, exhausted. You wake up because you're excited to get up. And that's what it feels like. I'm excited to get up and tackle the world.
Wow. I'm excited to get up just to talk to you.
Good. I'm excited to listen to you talk.
Yeah, and the drool that comes from my mouth is just a natural, you know, it's a physiological problem that I have.
good to know. But yeah.
Yeah.
Big thanks to Hal. I mean, this was an incredible show. He's a fun guy, a great talker, and knows a lot of stuff about personal development. So
yeah, and next time we interview him, I'll pay him a little more than you paid him to give me crap the whole show.
You may have to.
Nice, awesome. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. I hope you got something out of the episode. I know I did. I definitely encourage you to go out and try it. You know, read The Miracle Morning, try out Hal's methods, try out Savers, see if it helps you, see if it, you know, gets you motivated, gets you clarity, improves your life. I think it will. And I'm really excited. And at the end of the day, you know, the show is about real estate. The show is about building your business, building wealth. But if you're miserable and unhappy and your life is not going the way you want, regardless of what you do, it's irrelevant. So get out there and make a change. And that's it. Thanks so much for being a part of the community. If you're not already part of Bigger Pockets, get out there. Jump in, get active. We've got thousands, and I can say that, thousands of new posts on the forums every single day, thousands of posts a day. I mean, there's a ton of activity from people just like you getting together, communicating, connecting, interacting, sharing, helping one another. It's unbelievable. If you haven't experienced it, just take a moment and go to biggerpockets.com/forums and you'll see why people are so ecstatic about what we've produced in our community. But that's it. Get out there and make it happen. Wake up early tomorrow morning and good luck to you guys. I'm Josh Dorkin, signing off.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
There's a reason small multifamily investing is so popular in the Bigger Pockets community. With just a 3.5% down payment, you can own up to 4 different units. Think about it. If you house hack and live in one of the units, you still have 3 different groups of tenants helping you pay down your mortgage every month, 4 kitchens and bathrooms you could renovate to increase your property value, 4 different Airbnbs, medium-term rentals, or other rental strategies that you can try in one property, all in just one transaction. Of course, the question is, where do you find a small multifamily property that you can actually afford? Which market and which deals are best for you? Once you close, how do you manage it, optimize it, keep scaling, and living your life without being tied down to 4 leaky toilets or 4 fussy tenants? All great questions, my friends. All to be answered in the upcoming Small Multifamily Bootcamp with Chris Lopez and Leka Devatha. So if you're serious about growing your portfolio with this highly efficient strategy, head to biggerpockets.com/4, F-O-U-R, today and join us in the Small Multifamily Bootcamp. See you there.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.